Recorded live.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, and here with me in the studio, we got the full house once again, Stephen Weasel Hurley, and of course the local hero, Chris Rankin, two times in a row. Feel privileged, people. Feel privileged. Of course, don't even worry about that. Even if he wasn't here, he'd be coming to us live from the Sumter County Firehouse. And, or unless he's, stopping forces of nature like lightning or things like that from burning things down. That still blows my mind. I know that's over a week old, but, there you go. That's what he does, folks. But I'll put it this way. And I know we cover all sports here here on NGSC Sports, and we never stop when it comes to covering those sports. But I miss football season a lot. I just do. And here's why. Look, first of all, congratulations to the U.S. women for bringing home the World Cup at the Women's World Cup in Canada.
Girl power.
Yeah. Not just girl power, but America. Especially with it just being 4th of July, which I hope yours is happy and safe, by the way, on Saturday. But America, okay? That's what's up. America. There you go. Well done, Weasel. It's fitting that the day after the 4th of July, America pulls through. As much as we all want to, dig Bill Pullman in the speech on Independence Day, where it'd be nice if the 4th of July was more than just an American holiday, not the case in this World Cup. I'm just saying, America. Anyways, that being said, it was one thing that the Women's World Cup was the most compelling thing on television. And now we don't even have that. Gentlemen, things I should be watching, pop quiz, by the way, things I should be watching since there's not even the Women's World Cup in terms of sports.
What's there to watch?
Yeah. Oh, that's a great show. Chris,
it is the eating contest season going on right now.
Well, actually, that's done. That's really only the 4th of July.
Well, no, they got all different games all the time.
It's something. BattleBots.
BattleBots.
It's something.
That was cool. I was watching it last night, actually.
I thought we would be reduced to watching that one show, Lizard Lick Towing or whatever.
No, I don't think I saw it anymore.
It's a guilty pleasure. I'm just saying.
The new one on there now is Naked and Afraid. You know what?
I don't think I've seen that one.
Naked and Afraid.
Yeah. They drop a guy and a woman off completely naked and they're like an island.
They have
to survive for like 3 weeks.
I thought that was
nothing.
Something that was referring to like some sort of fraternity hazing ritual or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, so you know, other people that will still suffer the bite of missing football even when football season starts.
We got a whole ton of suspensions handed down. That's right, folks. You gotta love that NFL life. I mean, what can I say? So 3 suspensions laid down during the week last week, all on the same day, very eventful day. That was, I believe it was last Wednesday. Don't quote me on that. But, we have Rolando McClain of the Cowboys, Sheldon Richardson of the Jets. Those two guys are 4 games out due to a violation of the substance abuse policy. And here's a notable name if you didn't know the other two, which you probably should have. If you didn't, that's cool. Here's a name you'll know. 1 Antonio Gates. Da, da, da. That's right. Busted for performance-enhancing drugs. Yes, the one, the only performance-enhancing drug violation. And we'll get to all that in a minute. First of all, we'll start at the beginning. The thing that makes the Rolando McClain interesting is the Cowboys on defense are already less than great. I think we'll allow for that, right? I mean, everyone wants to tell me about Sean Lee, but he spends his time, a lot of the time, how you say, in redheaded style, child status. In other words, getting beaten when it comes to passing. Maybe I'm still scarred from watching all the points that they gave up in that Broncos game 2 years ago where Romo lost 54-40-something. It was stupid, but it was still Tony Romo's fault. Anyways, but see, Weasel even gets a smile. Yeah, that's silly. But the other thing to consider is they already have one very important piece to their defense also out in one Greg Hardy. So two very big pieces out to open the season. And oh, by the way, depending on how Tom Brady's suspension goes, the Patriots definitely within that first four-game schedule. Guys, I got to ask you, I mean, if you're the Cowboys, are you worried here with both these pieces out on defense?
No. Is that most like four games, right?
It's four games for these two guys, yes.
I think with that kind of thing, you can, with defense, you can kind of, you know, plug and play type thing and get through it. But if you got like a, you know, your franchise player or something like that, especially on offense, I think it's a lot huger thing. So they'll be all right.
Well, and I guess from a textbook point of view, that's possible and plausible. But here's what I put in front of you. Okay, so here's their schedule for the first four games. First four games. So actually, they'll have Rolando McClain back by the time they play the Pats, it looks like, if I'm reading this correctly. Which I thought the Patriots were in the first four games, so what do I know? But the Giants, the Eagles, the Falcons, and the Saints. So first of all, to open things up, two divisional games off the bat. You're at those big defenses. When it comes to those two guys against the Giants, I'm with you, Weasel. I'm not as worried. However, if you're playing against an offense like the Eagles, granted, oh by the way, they're going to Philly for that one. That's a nice and friendly crowd. You're dealing with a team that moves around a lot, that is based on deception and movement, which means you need somebody who's well-versed and experienced, and somebody filling in that role, who's coming in to fill that gap, not exactly some... let's just put it this way. I would get worried about a backup, let alone two, against the Eagles defense, depending on how that goes, being revamped with Sam Bradford, assuming that he's still standing by week two. I don't know. Chris, where are you at?
Yeah, it's going to be a big blow for the Cowboys. You got, like you said, Sean Lee coming back, but he tore his ACL last year, so
right.
You don't know how he's going to hold up. He's only really, last 3 years, he's missed 31 games, I think it is.
In 3 years. Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, last year he missed the entire season.
Right. He missed 31 games in the last 3 years. Okay, that's 16. So even, the other two,
yeah.
He's still averaging almost eight.
Yeah. 17 games. So in other words, basically half a season for the previous two seasons where he wasn't out for the entire season.
That's a problem. And besides Sean Lee and Rolando McClain, can you name any other linebackers in the Cowboys?
Only ones that don't play there anymore. I think they technically list DeMarcus Ware as a linebacker, but let's not BS. He's a rushing specialist. He's a defensive end, I think.
He's not there anymore.
I know he's not. That's what I just said.
The only other one that was with Anthony Hitchens is his second season right now.
Who?
Right. Exactly. He was a rookie last year. He was the third leading tackler on the team last year. Played every game.
That's impressive.
Right. But everybody else, you ever heard of Jasper Brinkley, Damian Wilson, Kyle Wilbur, Andrew Gotkar?
Jasper Brinkley from FSU?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Look out, Weasel Weasel!
Oh, still got to see if I'm right.
That's a rookie right there, though,
hey,
anyway.
I, you know what? You still deserve the shout-out on this basis of the fact that you said it with that much confidence.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, yeah. See, here's where I am. And first of all, I don't want to rule out either the Falcons or the Saints. The Falcons, I think, will be a lot better full strength and with the revamped backfield. Provided they could keep a full O-line on the field for, you know, more than half a season, I think they're going to at least have, you know, an 800 record next year. That being said, this is within the first 4 weeks. They're not going to lose their entire team by there. That is a winnable game for your Atlanta Falcons, especially if Dez Bryant is actually holding out by then, which I don't think he will be. But, I mean, just so many question marks if you're a Cowboys fan right now. I don't know.
So, just a little update. Jasper Brinkley, linebacker, Dallas Cowboys. College is South Carolina. I think I kind of knew the name because he did play with the Vikings for a little while.
Apparently, you don't know the name as well as you thought, though. I had to say something. I'm just joking, dude.
This is the sixth season in the NFL, too.
So, that'll help. I mean, right. You know... look, you just need people who need to sit in front of the film for the Eagles. You need somebody to put actually pressure up front so they don't abuse that that running option, so to speak. Because at that point, look, if you're trying to stop the Eagles, and correct me if you guys think I'm wrong here, if you're trying to stop the Eagles, every single one-on-one matchup is crucial at that point, right? If anybody on the line falters for the Eagles offense, it's blown up. I mean, right? Is that far off? I don't know. So, and oh, by the way, they have the added factor of playing against their former running back in DeMarco Murray. Sweet. Yeah. Yeah. And then the revamped Saints in New Orleans, by the way, with their new center, Max Unger, and their focus now on the running game versus the days of the past. I'll put it this way. If the Cowboys come out of that 2-2, that would be impressive, but I see a very real possibility of 1-3 being a bigger danger because those two huge pieces are missing. I don't know. Am I making too much of it?
Yeah, you're good.
What are the four teams again?
That would be the Giants, Eagles, Falcons, and Saints. In that order.
They 2-2, they might even be able to pull off 3-1 with their offense.
Oh, okay. So,
because, I mean, their offense is still intact. They're still going to have a running game, even though you don't know how run DMC is.
That's true.
Feel run DMC is going to have a good year this year with that offensive line. They only made it better with another pickup after the draft. They signed another offensive lineman. So, I mean, their offensive line is solid there. They're going to give Romo all day long to throw the ball, to find the receivers, to find Witten and Dez Bryant.
So, assuming they lock up Dez Bryant, we're going with the best defense is a good offense.
That's what I'm going to, because against the Eagles, you're going to have to. Because the Eagles don't have much of a defense, I don't think.
That's true.
Besides Cole, who,
Well, Connor Barwin's all right. Yeah. D'Amico Ryan's they got rid of, so that's not an option. I like Fletcher Cox. I like Michael Jenkins. Michael with a Y, by the way. That's interesting. That's interesting. Being said, yeah, when you got a D-line like that, an offensive line like that, if you're the Cowboys, and you have Dez Bryant on the field, yeah, you're selling me. I still feel like 2-2 is probably going to be the answer, because, I mean, trying to get in a shootout with the Saints is still a bad idea, in my opinion. I don't know. So.
Remember, the Saints and the Falcons last year are both below 500.
Correct.
So, I mean, that's I expect them to win those two games.
And see, the Falcons is tough.
Lose one of the ones between. So I can see them going 2-2.
Yeah.
But, realistically, I wouldn't be shocked if they're 3-1.
I don't know. You got to be careful with the Falcons there, man, because the Falcons were hurt for just so badly. They were putting in a tight end to start left tackle for games, for goodness sake. I mean, come on. But. Yeah, by the same token, I talk all that schmack, but yeah, I get it. That makes some sense, for sure.
They will ground the ball out, control the clock, since they don't have a defense. Just to ground it out. They wouldn't try to score fast. They would do those 12, 15-play drives they had last year at the beginning of the season when they started like 6-0.
I mean, if you're going to go after the Falcons, that's the way to do it. Keep Julio Jones off the field, Yeah, I wouldn't rule it out. The Saints upgrading their defense like they did to make them tougher and making their offense more rugged up front, maybe. You know what, though? That Saints-Cowboy game, that's going to be some fun football to watch. I'm not going to lie. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not even a fan of either team, and I'm feeling like that'll be a good game. So anyways, next on the list of suspensions, this one also on the basis of the substance abuse policy. This one also involving a substance abuse policy violation. So Sheldon Richardson, defensive tackle for the Jets. Chris, I mean, why not, right? When it comes to the Jets, the hits just keep on coming.
Right.
And by hits, I mean they haven't had a legitimate hit since, like, that old 80s group, the Jets. Boom, there's a random drop for you. I'm talking about the band that did the Chippendale Rescue Rangers theme, baby. Woo! No one else is getting that, are they? Weasel's nodding. Yep. No one else knows what the hell you're talking about. Anyways, please, Chris, save me from myself for making all these bad references. What do you think?
Right. With that defensive line, Sheldon Richardson, I think it's going to hurt a little bit. They did draft a defensive tackle, right, defensive end, Leonard Williams, who was probably the best defensive end in the draft that fell to him in the fifth. There, a lot of people expected him to go number two, three. It depends on who was taking quarterback. But Muhammad Wilkerson, they're trying to get under contract right now with a new – he's holding out right now. So it's kind of a little more bargaining power for Wilkerson.
Wilkerson, yeah.
Wilkerson's
a good tackle too.
A little more urgency for the Jets as well to get him under contract now with Richardson out. I mean, this is a second suspension for marijuana.
Oh yeah. Well, so that could go bad.
Right. So it's not going to be reduced. I mean, everyone always tries to appeal it and wins it, but I don't think it is.
They always try to appeal it. They don't always win it.
I think it's going to have a less effect than Rolando McClain.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'll agree with that, definitely. I mean, here's the thing that sucks about being associated with the Jets at this juncture is that the Brady suspension, huge, and the top of the hill is more vulnerable than it's been usually, provided that it holds. Excuse me. But, I mean, granted, we pontificated here that the Patriots are still going to get 10 wins, and, the chances are that the rest of the AFC East won't. But from the Jets' perspective, the division's going to be more open than it has been of late. And then on top of all that, I don't know. I'll put it this way. So the D-tackle is a problem now because of this potentially. Granted, I think you're right. There'll be less impact with what the opportunities that are still there. Albeit forced as the Wilkerson discussion, it's an unfortunate thing if you're the Jets front office and trying to negotiate that deal. But then on top of that, their quarterback situation, not formidable. I like their receiver core, what it's looking like now. Yeah, they got Revis back, and I don't know. Weez, what you got?
All right, so with Sheldon Richardson being out, most likely it was four games.
Yeah, that's what I heard so far.
There's going to be the rookie that will be playing more. It's Leonard Williams. He was defensive tackle.
Yeah, defensive end. He was like one of the best defensive ends. They expected to go number two in the draft.
Oh, yeah, number one, number two, definitely. And they got him at number six, which, huge, huge drop for them. And while it looked like, hey, they have depth right here, why would they pick him? But that's one of those value picks that he's going to get more playing time in those first four games then.
Okay, well, yeah, that's definitely true. I don't know. Just the Jets are already such a mess as it stands. Yeah, I'm not even going to add to that. I mean, at this point here, we could break down up front. I mean, they play the Browns, the Colts, the Eagles, and the Dolphins more Eagles. I mean, anybody losing a D-tackle against the Eagles offense, already I'm going to be a little bit concerned about you. The Dolphins, you're losing a D-tackle, and you're starting against Pouncey. All right, good luck with that. the Colts, because the Colts, next question. And the Browns. You still might have a shot because they're the Browns and they are what they are right now.
Right.
I mean, when their big acquisition, not a draft pick, was, Dwayne Bowe. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Anyways, I don't know.
It's somebody. I mean, Josh Gordon is pretty much out, right?
Yeah, that's in itself is a very particular situation I don't even want to dive into right now. Yeah. I don't know. Anyways.
Still, with those four teams, you're already looking, even if they had Sheldon Richardson, you're looking at a 2-2 with the best that they could do with Richardson. So, I mean, 1-3, still see him with those four games.
I would have called 1-3 before I called 2-2. So, yeah, but you said 2-2 is the best. That's like best case scenario, like, holy crap, the world.
You never know what you're getting out of the Browns, and then they always play well against the Dolphins.
They do.
So that's why I say 2-2 at best.
They always play well against the Dolphins. They always play bad against the Dolphins. It's in October in Miami, so at least it's not a September game, question mark, but,
is
you
it,
know.
Is it in Miami or is it somewhere else? I know it says at Miami, but it says 9:30 a.m.
Is that in England?
That's what I'm thinking it is.
NFL. Well, great. So then, why not, right? Anyways. So, that aside, just, yeah, whatever. The Jets are in enough trouble. This isn't going to be that big a deal compared to the other stuff they already have to address. I think we're in agreement on that. Which leads me to the biggest name of this bunch on the basis of the performance-enhancing drug policy violation, one Antonio Gates out 4 games himself. First of all, impact, gentlemen. What thinks you on this?
Oh, it's going to impact Antonio Gates trying to reach Tony Gonzalez's touchdown record for a tight end. I believe it has He had 111 touchdowns, and right now you got Antonio Gates with about, I think it's at 97. So missing 4 games, I don't think he'll be able to reach it, but most likely to take him 2 years if he's healthy.
Right, and I mean, let's put it this way. Ladarius Green has been the heir apparent for some time. I remember there was a while back where I discussed on back when I was doing the NFL West Recess, which is now the NGSC West Recess, by the way, here on NGSC Sports. And we were discussing the future of Antonio Gates back when he was negotiating his last contract. And there was some talk that it might be worthwhile to trade Antonio Gates, while he still had value. Now, the Chargers obviously opted not to do that. Not that it was the wrong decision either, because he would still have plenty of productivity. But, you know, I'm going to the schedule, and I'll put it this way, and I think you guys are in agreement with this. Being without Gates is a pretty big piece, but of late with Phillip Rivers' improved play, Brandon Oliver developing as a runner, their backfield, Melvin Gordon is the draft pick, correct?
Correct.
So, you know, they're developing that run game. That could be pretty cool. I like their receiver core. It's not the best ever, but it's pretty solid. You know, I'm still in a place where, whether Antonio Gates is here or not, I'm still in a place where I'm more worried about that defense than that offense. I mean, right? Am I nuts here or what?
I think their offense should be fine. I don't think it's a...
Yeah, Weasel's coming to my conclusion. It's like, yeah, they'll be all right. They won't... Granted, if I'm given the pod quiz, would you rather have Antonio Gates on the field? Well, duh. Being said, especially in the first few games with the defenses I see here, they're going to be all right. They're going to be all right. You know, I mean, the games I have in front of me, you know, are the Lions, Bengals, Vikings, and Browns. They're going to be all right. I think they'll be all right. I don't know if they're 4-0 all right, although I wouldn't rule that out either. I mean, you never know what you're going to get. Talking about teams you never know what you're going to get with, the Giants and the Lions, I think, are the top two, right?
Right. Sorry, Chris. Yeah, no, that's exactly. You never know where you're going to get with
because
the Giants.
Because it's real, son. You know, but when I mean, when I look at the skill position pieces here on the Chargers team, I mean, they still have, what is it? The tight end spot. Make sure I get this right here, too. Yeah, it is Ladarius Green. See, I thought I had that right. Why did you doubt yourself, Kea? Keenan Allen, of course, has been excellent in his time. Malcolm Floyd, I like as a number two, most certainly. And then also, hey, you know, not for nothing. I know he's like 157 years old. No, I'm just kidding. He's just 9 years in the league. But Jacoby Jones, he all right. I like what's going on there. You know, and then Austin Pettis is a name that's done some things for the Rams earlier in his career, but not necessarily, you know, great. But, you know, as a guy who provides depth, sure, absolutely. So, you know, meanwhile, this the Chargers defense, the people that brought you Manti Te'o as a pro, right? Anyways.
You know, their defense last year was actually better than you expected.
It was better than you expected, but it still wasn't great, you know.
Right, and then with Antonio Gates, last few years he's been injured anyway, so he hasn't been much of a factor as he was back in 2012, I think was his really last good season.
Well, I mean, it's not like, granted, he's not giving you 16 full games of football, I'll agree with that. But, you know, missing 2 to 4 games a season, I mean, that's a factor, but I wouldn't go out and just call him straight useless, you know, especially after he has the 13, I mean, well, he's going into year 13, I think, as a tight end. So, you know, there's that. But, you know, it's the same old story here, guys. Antonio Gates' statement was, hey, I'm really into holistic medicine. I was using some stuff. The thing I got busted for wasn't on the label. Yada, yada, yada. I took it, and it still came up positive. I mean, look, right? At this point, granted, I think some of this is a problem with the FDA. That's right, I said it. These nutritional supplements aren't regulated, and this is a problem much bigger than football, right? They can cause, supplements in general could cause all sorts of health risks, and you can't really see anything done about it because they're not regulated, you know? So I think it's a bigger element than just the football and all that being a part of it. Being said, the NFL has been clear from day one, look, you've got to know what you're doing if you're going to do it. I mean, right? You know, this isn't just star caps where they went through all the rigors and trials and tribulations to make sure all the details were right before they got busted. And of course, I mean, the Williams defensive tackles, Kyle and Pat of the Vikings. But I don't know. Weasel, go ahead.
Yeah. With Kevin and Pat Williams, yeah, with the Vikings.
I said Kyle, whatever. I meant Kevin.
Yeah, yeah. But what we got here is that the NFL, they won't budge on like suspensions, like where
and
it's
I don't think they could afford to.
Their performance enhancing drugs, because with the Vikings, they could have, maybe outside the NFL or something, somebody would be like, this is my case. It didn't have the list of ingredients that the banned substance was not listed on there, and we asked the NFL to see if it was good.
Right.
We checked labels and everything, and the two of them took a diuretic pill. I guess it gets rid of like water weight.
Let's not get too much into the details. The point is this: the Williams boys there went to the NFL. They said, "Hey, check this out," and it's still cleared, right?
Yeah, it's cleared.
And if nothing else, that that doesn't necessarily serve in his example where you're still going to get busted if you check on the label. If you actually did your due diligence, you won't get suspended. And I think that's the lesson that needs to get taken away here, right?
Well, yeah, it makes players nowadays, they have to be extra careful. And but the thing is that you really got to know what you're taking, but going by ingredients and stuff like that, the NFL, they don't care. They're like, tough luck, 4 games.
You know, and I mean, it's a stance that I feel like PR-wise they have to take. You know, with the way that PEDs are in the media, you know, I know, though it's a long time back, everybody still remembers all the crap that went on in the C-League era with steroids and Barry Bonds and all that. Heck, there was just a whisper of something going on with Ray Lewis and whatever in the back end of his career, and that blew up. Now, granted, that nothing really materialized from it. But, I mean, it's going to be a hot-button issue all the way around. And, you know, I feel like the NFL is right to have a position that harsh. All you got to do is a little bit of research, you know. They have appropriate people for you to go to. And if they screw up, that's on them. I don't know. Anyways, I'm going to go ahead and jump into a break here, gentlemen. You guys out there are listening to NGSC Sports. This is the Student of the Game. You're listening to NGSC Sports Radio. Hear us live on NGSCSports.com, where you can get awesome analysis for all things sport. Or check out our podcasts on iHeartRadio, Spreaker, iTunes, TuneIn, and much more. For our latest videos, head to NGSC Sports YouTube channel. Follow us on Twitter at NGSC Sports and like us on Facebook. NGSC Sports, we never stop. And of course, we are back aboard here on the Student of the Game. I'm Kyle Nass, the Student of the Game, here with local hero Chris Rankin. I think we're going to stick with that local hero moniker. I like that. That's, you know, People are like, well, how did that happen? Work. Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to complain. It's. I mean, look, if Peter Parker could be the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, I don't see why Chris Rankin can't be local hero. That's what's up, right? Then, of course, if you don't know by now, you better ask somebody. Steven Weasel Hurley. Weasel Weasel!
Yeah, boy!
So money. I can't front on that. By the way, speaking of things that aren't money, getting injured by fireworks. Literally not money. Jason Pierre Paul offered a big contract, but that extension now retracted by the New York Giants. See, Weasel, you're my outside the lines, man. Tell me a little bit about this JPP thing that you saw.
Well,
first of all, you know you're in trouble already if Weasel's laughing.
So,
anyways, go ahead.
You got a guy that's Jason Pierre Paul, just $60 million contract. It's over there somewhere, you know. He can take a franchise tag if he wants, but he must have had a little too much senseless fun on the 4th of July, because they're saying that when I couldn't find any details about what exactly happened, but they're saying that both his hands were injured with I don't know how he was setting off a firework or anything like that. If it just lit too fast, no clue. But supposedly what they're saying is that both of his hands were injured, and he has to stay another extra day. So I don't know if it's a certain degree of burn or anything. But the Giants, they rescinded their offer. But the thing is that Pierre Paul, I believe he's not on a contract right now. So he doesn't have a contract, like the long-term one, and he didn't sign his franchise tender. So I think there's clauses in certain players' contracts that say you can't go surfing, you can't do this, you can't do that. The guy wasn't on a team at the time, but I can understand why they rescinded it, because how serious this injury was, nobody's saying. But he could, what it's looking like now is that he could at least sign a, I think it's about $13 million, $14 million franchise tag, and he would still get at least that money for that season. So, oops.
Yeah, I mean, look, aside from the rumors that there's somebody actually out there that says that he did that on purpose. So,
I think I read something like that. Yeah, it was one of those.
It's stupid.
It's one of those. No, it's actually one of those articles where it starts off saying that this is meant to be sarcastic humor, and pretty much, you know, like, don't take it so seriously. So,
oh, okay. Well, then why are you guys telling me about that without telling me about the sarcastic humor before the show? You're fired.
It's kind of obvious, you know. But some people,
I should hope so.
In certain things, I guess. What is it? The Onion's one of them. Where if you take that kind of stuff seriously, yeah.
You didn't tell me where you got it from. You just said that it's out there.
Yeah, of course it's out there. You know, see, like, you know that video with Dez Bryant in the Walmart.
Oh, he went there.
It's like it's like when you have a news, if you have like a person like writing a blog that says this is maybe six times more, it's six times more offending than the Ray Lewis videotapes and
stuff
like that.
Then of course you have Adam Schefter's attention. That's
what, oh yeah.
See, so you're welcome, Weasel.
People do. They can throw crap around on the internet and somebody picks it up. The guy was, I think the one who said a four times greater than. I think he had like a fake player.
See, you already
website.
Changed your story. You said six times greater than earlier.
Hey.
Oh my gosh, scandal.
Was I wrong? But it's just people nowadays can say whatever they want, but I'm sure that's because it's Jason Pierre-Paul. Yeah. I think someone's going to have a YouTube video. I mean, the thing is that you got an NFL star. He's, you know, he's like there. You're just like, oh, crap, check this out type of thing. And a YouTube video comes off, because we'll see if he was playing around, if he was just being stupid, or if it was just a glitch in the firework.
Short fuse.
Yeah, something that. So. Look, that, I think, should be coming out possibly in the next week.
You know, and in order, yeah, if there is one, right? And in order, I'm glad to say that I'm glad to find out that it's fake, because just like I was about to say, that's stupid. Stop it. Even if that is true, just stop it. Just stop it. I don't know. Chris, JPP, impact on the Giants. Let me know.
Yeah, you know, look, they offered this last week to him, the contract. He wasn't going to sign it.
Right.
They don't think they got the offer done by, was it the 11th, 15th of July is when the tender has to be signed anyway.
Right.
So he's going to have to sign this. The Burns was severe burns to his hand and with three tips. One, they're testing for nerve damage, one of the fingers, to see if there's any nerve damage. Mm-hmm. They don't think anything's like that. So them to rekindle or, you know, to with...
Recant. Not rekindle. Yeah, right. I can understand recant. Why yeah, talking no. about his burnt hand yeah. that you thought Sorry. Of kindle.
Yeah.
See.
But, you know, when I first heard it before I did any research, I'm like, you know what? Look what the Giants did with Plaxico Burress. When he shot with the gun in the nightclub, they got rid of him right then and there, right before, you know.
Yeah.
He went to jail. They, you don't hear a lot of news under Tom Coughlin about, you know, players, you know, with their bad rap, he doesn't deal with it. So, you know, with the first, you know, when I heard it, I'm like, yeah, but really, realistically, he wasn't going to sign the contract anyway
right.
for $60 million. So they're like, all right, well, we're just wasting our time. You know, let's pull it back before he signs it, see what the real damage is to his hand, which they don't think it's going to be anything major. I mean, he's a defensive player. It doesn't really mean too much.
Yeah, I mean, you know, one might even argue if there is some nerve damage, as far as playing in the game, it could be a situation where it might help him some. I don't even know. Well, because Weasel's looking at me funny. Like, the impact...
I raised my eyebrow.
Yeah, he's like, say what? What? I mean, like, granted, if it's severe nerve damage and he can't move his fingers, it's obviously different, right?
But it's only one finger.
Right. Well, so you know, Weasel's hoping, like, if that were Weasel, he would be hoping that was the middle finger with the damage, right. So he could be always flicking people off. That See, you're nodding. Do you disagree? I plead the fifth.
I got it. I got you.
And then he needs to trade teams and go play for an AFC East team then. And the Bills, the Dolphins, flicking fans off all the time.
Oh, wow. I haven't even thought of that since Brian Cox. Interesting. Okay. Although even the most recent famous version, I think, is Michael Vick with the Falcons. But that's a reach there, Chris. I'm going to have to reject that. Sorry. I'm sorry. I just Dikembe Mutombo'd your joke. But anyways, no, and all the schmack talking aside, I know Weasel knows where I sleep, so I shouldn't talk that much trash. But the point is, I think when it comes down to it, if it's, you know, like lesser nerve damage where like his fingertips are numb or whatever, and he's making an impact to make a move or something like that, and he's not feeling any sort of pain or impact to it, you know, it could be kind of an advantage to that extent. Now, granted, if it's major damage and he can't move his digits and all that stuff, yes, obviously that would be worse. We don't know the extent of that damage. That hasn't been released yet as of this recording. But, yeah. So, I mean, I think this is kind of a sign of the climate of the NFL, right? You do something stupid off the field, and now they're going to use it as an excuse. Now, granted, Chris, I'm with you. This time of year is where a lot of posturing takes place. And it's very likely that this could be just more posturing, because no team has ever done that in the form of their player's contract, in the form of rumors and or things that could be affecting their current status, i.e. Dez Bryant and the video that wasn't. Oh, snap! I did it again, Weasel. I got you. Anyways. So with the slow news week that we have, Chris, Chris has put together a number of matchups versus matchups, if you will, for situations. I don't know how many of these we're going to go through, but let's go ahead and fire away once I get the music going here. Oh, yeah. Does that not scream versus? Am I doing it right? Should it be this or the Equalizer? Seriously.
I like this one.
Okay, we're rolling with this. DJ Weasel Weeze makes the call. Weasel Weeze!
Since we're in the offseason, we don't have to worry about our study hall, so I guess this works.
Well, we're practicing for the study hall, right?
All right. So last time we talked about like corners versus corner, you know, moving one over to wide receiver.
That's true.
So what if we do wide receiver versus wide receiver, moving one over to corner?
Okay.
Megatron receiver versus Brandon Marshall.
Huh.
You remember Brandon Marshall, junior year of college, he was moved over to safety, led the team in tackles and interceptions.
That's true. I mean, well, look, let's put it this way. What makes Calvin Johnson so dangerous is if he's in the general region, a catch can be made. I get that Brandon Marshall could cover a lot of ground, but Weasel.
Thing also with Calvin Johnson, the guy's about, 6'5", 230-something or something along those lines.
Not a small man.
He runs a 4.3 40. He's got, I think it was a 40-inch vertical or something like that. Brandon Marshall is kind of the same kind of stature.
Right.
But I think his... I think Marshall's numbers are in like the 4-4 range, 4-4, 4-5 range.
Oh, cut him.
But so I think Calvin Johnson, based on, you know, like the physical attributes, and I think he would take it over Marshall.
Well, and the way we've been doing this is, you know, in 10 tries, what would it be? So you're saying Marshall would actually win at corner?
No. Well, both ways, I would say, I think as wide receiver or cornerback, Calvin Johnson will win.
Okay, so Calvin Johnson as a receiver, Brandon Marshall as the corner was what was put before us.
Okay.
How many does Marshall win out of 10? Or check that. How many does Calvin Johnson win as out of 10?
I'd say about 7.
7-3. Okay, so that's a pretty dominant performance. I wouldn't put far much away from that. I think what you're missing is that Brandon Marshall would be positioned bigger than pretty much anybody else that Calvin Johnson goes against. I mean, sure, he's played against the Seahawks at some point and played against a pretty big crew with that team. But on the whole, I know Harrison Smith of the Vikings, for example, not as big as Brandon Marshall. Just throwing that out there. Being said, I don't think you're far off. I would go 6-4 with Calvin Johnson. I think it would take him a couple times to get used to the fact that Marshall has a bigger size. Megatron doesn't have trouble getting off the line necessarily either, but I think it would be only a matter of time before he says to his quarterback, hey, rather than run on the inside, let's try to test him on the outside, see if that 1/10 that I'm faster can be done, and assuming the quarterback can put it in the right place, you get 6 victories out of 10 for Marshall in the exchange. Chris!
All right, so then... Yeah, I think it would go Megatron 6-4. Okay. Got it. So let's take Megatron out. Let's put Dez Bryant in.
Dez Bryant.
Versus Brandon Marshall.
Versus Brandon Marshall. So basically what he's baiting us into asking is, who do you think is better overall? First of all, look, I don't think you can do better or worse than either one of these receivers. It's more of a skill set piece. And while I've seen Calvin Johnson go up and make more catches over more guys, I feel like I like what Dez Bryant did. Yes, I'm doing this just on the strength of people playing the Seahawks defense at the moment, by the way. But I don't know. I feel like, Weasel. I'm going to still... Whew, that's tough. Do I raise it to 7-3 for me because Dez Bryant? I'm going to say yes. Not because I think Dez Bryant is necessarily a better receiver, but I think he could do more of the wacky catch stuff that, no, look, the catch, that was a catch last year in the playoffs, by the way, the DB covering, nothing he could do. And you see Dez Bryant make more of those nothing he could do catches. You know, a lot of CJs, I found out when Megatron goes up, it's kind of a fight and Megatron wins. But I don't find myself saying, there's just nothing he could do. I don't know. Weasel.
Marshall, who's at corner?
Brandon Marshall's at corner, so it's Dez Bryant and Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, I would give the edge to Dez Bryant. Because, yeah, as you were saying, he can make those difficult catches.
What's the number?
What's that number? I'd say this one more close to like 6-4.
6-4, so he's actually, he thinks CJ will do a bit more damage. Okay, right on.
Yeah.
Bam. Chris.
See, Dez Bryant's giving up 2 inches to Brandon Marshall. And Brandon Marshall's 6'4", 230 as well.
Yeah.
It's the little size. Vertical is there too. Calvin Johnson's 6'5", 236. I mean, yeah, he's a little bit bigger. I'd say they split. In a 10, it'd be a 5-5. Just because Brandon Marshall, with both of them, he knows what the receivers are thinking, how they're going to run their routes, because he's playing over there. But he also has defensive back experience, unlike both of them. So he can anticipate, you know, the tendencies receivers have. Then he can anticipate because he's worked for it. Like how Richard Sherman transitioned over the corner, and how well he does. So I'd say it's split 5-5. With Dez Bryant.
Well, look, even though I have more confidence in Dez Bryant than both of you, I'll say this. We all agree it was a bleeping catch. Anyways, Chris.
All right, let's go for old school versus new school matchup.
Okay.
Let's take beast mode Marshawn Lynch versus the hardest hitting buck John Lynch.
Woo! Look, everyone on this panel knows I'm a John Lynch guy. All right, I got my Bucks John Lynch, which is replacement of my other John Lynch jersey that faded out. I have a Broncos John Lynch. I'm still miffed that John Lynch isn't in the Hall of Fame yet, though he will be one day. And if he's not, I'm not going to say it's a bigger crime than Jerry Kramer of the Lombardi Packer era not making it, but I digress. But dude, you're trying to tell me I don't care if John Lynch is the hardest hitting safety in the NFL of all time, or at least of his era. Dude, beast mode insane. Just on the size alone, man, I got to pick Marshawn Lynch. However, because I'll put it this way. The first 3 times out of 10 that they wrap up, Lynch is going to get him. But that will build up over the 10 times. I got Lynch 7 times out of 3. Weasel. Seven times out of 10. Weasel.
For my choice, it's due to one thing. Technique. Nowadays, you have, for beast mode, you have these players that they try to arm tackle him. You have, it's like they try to, some of them for beast mode, they try to, like, you know, knock him down, like, you know, get like the shorter hits or some, or like trying to knock him back.
Well, they're scared to hit
and,
him, basically.
Yeah, right? Well, and arm tackles make him look a lot better. And it's true.
It is. I'm laughing.
You have these beast mode things.
Because he's true.
You have these beast mode things on YouTube.
Yep.
And the guys are like, it looks like they're trying to give him a hug and try to tackle him that way. But John Lynch, he was, you know, of course, one of the toughest hitters out there, but he was
a proper technique. I like what you said.
But proper technique with John Lynch, I think can take him down. I'll look up the weight and the height kind of comparison there.
Well, for now, give me a number, Weasel.
I'd say Lynch 6-4.
Lynch 6-4. Okay, so he left.
What's it? John Lynch 6-4.
Yeah. Yep.
See, because there's 2 Lynches.
Right.
It's a Lynch mob we're right. talking about. That's why I had to say. I made sure.
That's why I had to make sure it was Lynch. Yeah.
See, I'm glad I said right. I had to make sure it was Lynch. I think we got that part right. Okay, Chris.
All right. So you got to look at this. When John Lynch is playing, he played on a team with Derek Brooks and Warren Sapp. You ask either of them who the hardest hitting player on the team was, and they say John Lynch. They said they've been in the bottom of the pile. And they felt John Lynch hit the pile.
Oh, my God. So you're like, oh, I want the ball. Oh, there's John.
Yeah, so they said they've been on the receiving end in the pile from John Lynch.
Whew.
And they know they hands down, how competitive both of those players are.
Oh, yeah.
Say, John Lynch, number one, hands down, he was the toughest hitting buck they had. Especially I ever played with. So
he may be a buck.
With that, he knows how to do angles. He knows how that. He can get on the beast mode. I'll go with John Lynch 6-4 also.
Wow.
Okay.
Weasel, go.
Just some quick numbers for their tributes. So you got Marshawn Lynch, height 5'11", 215.
Yep.
And you have Lynch at 6'2", 220. So he's not like exactly...
He's bigger than I thought.
Yeah, Lynch is... Marshawn Lynch is in this like huge, like a beast of a player.
It just seems like he
is. Just like, yeah.
Just, not that 220 so, is necessarily small, but...
He's got 3 inches on him, which means that... Marshawn Lynch may be more built, but the thing about it is that Lynch has a technique and he has a, you know, history goes on his side.
So wait, give me John's stat.
6'2", 220.
And then give me Marshawn's stat.
5'11", 215.
Whew. Still, that, I mean, 220 is heavier than I thought John Lynch was. That makes it even more impressive the way he was able to move around. Even still, you pack 215 in that box. That is... You know, Skittles. That's a big old bag of Skittles. I don't know. But I respect both what you both the guys were talking about from the technical aspect as well. It's very interesting. I don't know. Chris!
All right, so let's go to another matchup that we're getting excited to see here. Vince Wilfork at center versus Dominican Sue.
Look, man, this isn't close, okay? And for my money, it's 8-2 in Dominican Sue. All right, look, as much as I love the world's fastest immovable object, there's some... Dominican Sue plays like some sort of rabid animal that hasn't been fed for a week, okay? Ndamukong Suh, 8-2. There's your rhyme right there. It sounded like something out of a Muhammad Ali like hype speech. But anyways, Weasel.
I guess with physical talent and those kind of abilities, I give him to the stomp guy, Ndamukong Suh.
Stomp guy.
Yeah.
I was trying to be friendly with it, but yeah.
Hey, I think it'll be fun to try to guess his next suspension. So
you know,
because he stepped on a guy's like helmet. Yep. When the helmet was off, he stepped on someone's head, right?
That was Albert Haynesworth.
Oh, they're both defensive tackles, but
yes, they are.
Suh does have a other one. I think it was the
he stepped on Rogers' leg.
His ankle.
Now, being said, there are a couple that he was hit with fines on that were just stupid. One is rookie year, for example, but there are plenty where he was legit dirty. There's no question. Being said, Ndamukong Suh 8-2 is one thing, but I'd be curious to see who would win the aftermath if he cheap shot at Vince Wilfork. I'm just saying that would be more interesting of a fight than it would be a football matchup in that situation. I'm just saying. Anyways, Chris, next one.
All right, let's do one more. Let's do another old school versus new school matchup.
Yes.
All right. Let's go back to the Cowboys. Let's go Dez Bryant versus prime time Deion Sanders.
Ooh. Prime time at corner.
Prime time at corner.
I mean, that's
real receiver versus an old school. Yeah.
So cowboy on cowboy crime, right here. You know what? I started the last two. Weasel, I'm passing this to you first. What do you got?
I go with Deion. The guy, he's got the physical attributes needed to, you know, take on Dez Bryant, and the guy will definitely roll with him. So I'd take a 6-4 advantage for Deion Sanders. Showtime.
You know, back in prime
Close
times
enough.
Day,
Showtime was Eddie Murphy.
I was just saying the matchup between the two will be Showtime.
All right.
Save Weasel. Anyways.
Actually, wasn't Dez Bryant starting to call himself Showtime or something like that a couple years ago?
If he did, I missed it.
You don't make your own nicknames. That's stupid.
Well, only if you say it and then the world embraces it. Like, you know, the whole Fred X, Freddie Mitchell thing. You can't make a hat with your nickname on it until people embrace it. So that's you're right there. That is the error. And not to mention any opportunity to make a Freddie Mitchell reference. You know, there's a bunch of people listening to the podcast going, "Oh yeah, I remember him. That's that one guy with the Eagles." Anyways, you know, for me, it was a different era back in prime times day. First of all, we're talking about airborne receiver coverage rather than a situation where they actually face off, because if primetime has to try to tackle Dez Bryant, it's 10-0 Dez Bryant. Let's be real for 30 seconds. He's making a business decision. Anyways, he's a Hall of Famer, I know, but I still like pointing that out. Anyways, being said, look, man, primetime didn't have to face many receivers built like some of the elites are in this era. They just weren't that big and that fast both. Being said, that's a tough challenge. I'm gonna go 5-5. I know that's the wimpy way out, but that's where I live. 5-5. What? Don't judge me.
I'm thinking same thing too. 5-5.
Woohoo!
It's a tough one. Like what you said though. You know, if you want him to tackle, he's not gonna tackle. But you go deep on Deion, he's got the ball. He's gonna do something. I mean, like you gotta. He was. When Deion was playing, he was playing with Michael Irvin, who pushed off all the time anyway, so. you think Deion would probably be pushing off Dez. Dez is starting to push off as well, wearing that 88. I think it's something sewn in the jersey or something. You're pushing off. So, with that, you know, Deion's going to push off for you. The long, deep balls, anything across the middle, I think Dez Bryant's got.
All right. Well, fair enough. I on this, I shall not front. So, I'm going to come up with one here real quick because I can. The bus. Well, actually, no, they played each other. This isn't compelling. I was going to say Jerome Bettis and Ray Lewis, but they actually played against each other, so that's dumb.
Yeah, I was thinking that same thing, too.
Yeah.
Because I got bus on here.
Well, who do you have on there against?
I have...
Let's do one more.
I put Von Miller.
Bus and Von Miller. Look, 3 out of 7, I got the bus. Because just the same reason I put for 3 out of 7
or 7 out of 3?
Bus wins 7.
Okay.
And because for the same reason that I put 5 and 5 for Dez Bryant and Primetime, Von Miller hasn't faced a runner that's the same combination of big and mobile as is one Jerome Bettis. Something just off the top of your head, who is the biggest runner that Von Miller's had to face? Maybe LeGarrette Blount? I can't think of a bigger one off the bat.
Marshawn Lynch.
Good call. But, I mean, who do you want to tackle less? Here's a good one. Who do you want to tackle less? Marshawn Lynch or Jerome Bettis?
I think
the answer is C. You retire and quit from football because no one wants to tackle either of them. Go ahead,
Hazel. Yeah. With Jerome Bettis, I would take him with a... I'd say 6'4". But, yeah, he's just he's just flat out, you know, he's a hard runner, and he takes it to you.
7'3".
Yeah. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, he takes it to you, and it's just there's not that kind of, like, Marshawn Lynch is the closest kind of running back they have to a Jerome Bettis, so. But,
yeah, that's true. That's very true. I don't know. Chris?
I'd say 8'2", Jerome Bettis. Because, you know, like, Von Miller is more of sacking the quarterback type linebacker,
yeah.
Going after the quarterback. Going after running back, they haven't lined up in there. I think Buss will just lower his shoulder and just keep going.
Well, and for at least one of those 10, something else I think would happen is Buss would lower his shoulder and Von Miller would look to engage. And then Buss will put a little spin step on it. Fooled you! And it'll be, you know, because that's the thing people forget about Jerome Bettis is, yeah, towards the end of his career, he had to throw those 3-3-3 games. You know what I'm talking about. 3 carries, 3 yards, 3 touchdowns. But towards the end of his career, I think even in his last year, Fast Willie Parker was out for a bit, and he had to carry the load while Fast Willie was trying to recover. Wow, good memory by me. But actually, and at the time in that Super Bowl, he had the longest run from scrimmage up to that point in that Super Bowl that Fast Willie won. Right, Weasel? I'm getting a nod.
Sounds about right.
Boom. Sounds about right. You're just standing. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, trust me, I know it's right. I'm still in the game. I know the answer. It's just that simple. You can't handle the truth. Anyways, I killed the music there because we're wrapping up that segment anyway. So how better way to do it? Can you do much better than doing that with Nathan R. Jessup? That's right. I don't know. That's Jack Nicholson's character, for those who don't know who Nathan R. Jessup is from A Few Good Men. But if you don't, buy the Blu-ray, if they have it. They have The Few Good Men on Blu-ray. They have to, right?
You can also find it, like, on VHS.
Thank you, Weasel.
On what?
You know what? I think if I go to the flea market, I could probably buy the VCR and the VHS tape cheaper than the Blu-ray.
Boom. By far.
I got you, Weasel.
Pretty soon you can't go to the flea world.
What?
Yeah, Flea World's closing down.
Wow. It is Flea World, Chris, in Sanford, Florida.
We got a few minutes left in the show. We're about ready to close it out. You can't drop a bomb on me.
No, they're selling the property to a condo place.
Just told you can't drop bombs like that. I'm in the middle of telling me you can't do it, and you're like, nope, open fire. Bam!
You can get it.
Do you have any idea how many cheap Nintendo games I got at that flea market? I don't know.
Where are they all going?
No, stop. I got to end this show.
It's going to be called a farmer's market somewhere.
Okay, this show is already out of control because I'm about to cry and y'all talking about damn Flea World. Anyways, of course, you can hear us on iHeartRadio, Spreaker, iTunes, TalkShoe, and coming soon, Zeno Radio. Da-da-da! So, because, I mean, right now you're not hearing us on TalkShoe because the live recording failed. But, you know, because Evolution, ladies and gentlemen, look out for Zeno Radio coming soon. That'll be awesome. And, of course, go to the website, www.ngscsports.com. And, folks, if you haven't seen it yet, the NGSC Sports YouTube channel got the Sports Symposium there. 2 episodes are up. And I just sent the audio for the 3rd episode to my video man, Hilarity by Default, Demos Euclid. So we've got the 3rd one there in production. I wish I could say I had as many episodes in production as Marvel Studios has comic book heroes in production, but I don't have millions and millions of dollars at my disposal. Yeah, I think that's a good reason, right? Anyways, of course, you can go on Twitter. Check us out. NGSC Sports has a Twitter page at NGSC Sports. But listen to some personality. Check out my man, Steven Weasel Hurley at Weasel the SOTG. Check out my man, the local hero, Chris Rankin at Hydraulic Upright, UPRIT. Should it be at Local Hero?
Yeah,
man, that's probably taken.
Yeah, it's probably taken. We can look it up, see if it is.
Heroes Upright. Oh, snap.
That sucks. That could be taken wrong.
That could be taken wrong right there.
Are you trying to say, that that's a porn actor's name? H-I-R-O, hero.
I didn't say that.
Whatever. And then, of course, you can find me, Kyle Nash, the student of the game, at the SOTG. And, of course, lots of fun here. I don't know. Maybe if Chris is inspired, we'll have more matchups.
I still have a few.
Oh, look out. It's already in production. Anyways, until next time, everybody, class dismissed.